Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, tennis fans, high school players, parents, coaches, athletic directors. This is Coach Denise bringing you the FHST perspective on high school tennis. Welcome to the UR10 Network. And if it sounds like I'm reading today, I will for a little while because unfortunately yesterday one of my knees gave out on me, and they haven't decided yet what to do, and the pain pills they have me on, I'm not so sure that I'll be concurrent the whole day. So I've written down notes. We have an outstanding guest today. We've had him on before on the show, and it's funny how the Almighty works, because last week we had Coach Getz of the University of Pennsylvania, and he talked about what he believed was necessary to be a good prospect for college. And of course, one of the three things he talked about was opportunity and how important opportunity was. And he also talked about the value of tennis showcases and colleges be able to look at the high school students. As you may or may not realize, 99% of the high school tennis players are not USTA members. They're not ranked, so those colleges that are looking for the top 100 players in the country don't get a chance to see most of them. And in many cases, the one thing they need is an opportunity to show what they have and what they can offer a college. So I think we'll have a pretty nice show talking with Tarek Merchant in a little while. But before we get into that, I would like to cover a couple of things. And I always get questions and emails from some of the people that listen to the show and have questions and that I haven't covered. And I would like to do that now. One of the questions was why we chose Wilson Tennis as to be one of our main sponsors rather than other companies. And we don't like to, like any not-for-profit organization, we need funding, but we don't like to just go out and, talk to everybody. We try to get people in different areas that can help service and provide something to the membership there. It is not true that the main reason was that I am almost as old as Wilson being in business. And that is not the reason. It's not completely true. I am only 75. Wilson is over 100 years old going. But any company that has to be in business for over 100 years You know that there's a reason they stay in business. Businesses are no different than really the tennis. Think of the your community and the tennis pros that came and went in your community. A lot of people come, they look to take shortcuts, they know a little bit about it. Maybe they were a good college player or had a short stint on the pro circuit, and now the next step before they try to find out who they are is to become a tennis pro and make money that way. And while they have opportunities because of that experience, there's a lot more that goes into being a tennis pro, and there's a heck of a lot more that goes into being a tennis coach, especially a high school tennis coach. And if you're not willing to do those things, all of a sudden you see a large turnover. And admittedly, in the high school tennis coaching field, we have too big of a turnover. We're trying to do something about that and getting the high school coaches certified. Truthfully, in the long-range plan, if they become certified, then hopefully school boards and athletic directors will look at hiring a tennis coach to run their program rather than hiring somebody to moderate the kids and keep them from getting in trouble after school. So we're trying to do that, and that's one of the main reasons we chose Wilson, 100 years experience, and they've been very supportive of all our programs, our certification programs, and as well as recognizing the coaches. At our December workshop, they will give four Coach of the Year awards to the four FHSAA categories, 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. So that's one of the reasons they're on. And Dean Street Insurance. If there's not a Dean Street in your community, then by all means go to www.deanstreetinsurance.com and see if they can help you out. They came to our aid when we were in trouble keeping our high school all-star tournament together, and we just completed our fourth annual tournament at Winter Park Tennis Facility, which is a great place to play tennis, a great place for a tournament, and also a great place to watch it. But they were able to make sure that we had a successful tournament, and we appreciate what they do. And they recognize the value of community, and they will be giving out a community service award to our to somebody in the community that supports high school tennis, because it takes more than a tennis coach and a player and parents and athletic director to build a tennis team. It takes a community. So we thank Dean Street Insurance. And if you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to deanstreetinsurance.com. The Florida Tennis Magazine, a very important part of that. The Almighty works in strange ways. Like I said, I apologize if I sound different today. I am some pain medicine until they find out what they're going to do with my knee. And thank God I got the two articles for the June and July issue done before this happened. But those are some of the main people that we have in there. And, of course, our all-star team, again, look great, not just because they were young. Our coaches are not all as young as they, but they were clothed by Team Connection Tennis, and Team Connection Tennis is a big part of our All-Star event, but they're a big part of community. They're a big part of playing it forward to the future. If you go to our website at www.fhstca.org, you will see Tennis Connection on there. If you go there, you can also see how your school can get free tennis uniforms for the 2016 season. And if you go to our website, you will also see our next guest there, too. And I see he's just called in, so let me go online to make sure I do have him, and then I'll introduce him if he's there. Tarek, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Tarek. Well, players, coaches, you've heard Tarek before. It was one of our larger broadcasts, and a lot of people, we had a lot of questions that he answered before. But we have more questions for him. And like I said, the Almighty works in strange ways. Last week we had Coach Getz from the University of Pennsylvania on there, and when he talked about the three ingredients, the main ingredients he looked for, he talked about opportunity being one of them, and I agree with him 100%. And, he talked about tennis showcases. Well, our guest today, Tarek Merchant, is the founder of Unrecruitable. It's a great program that helps the student athlete and their families successfully navigate the college sport recruitment process. And that recruitment process is important, and it includes quite a few different avenues. And like I said, when I found out that this knee was going to be killing me the way it is, and I had to take some medication, I figured I would write down a bunch of questions for Tarek so I wouldn't forget them. And after doing that, I do have to say, and if I haven't, I will probably share it tomorrow. I haven't done the things that I'm supposed to for the last 2 days. But Tarek, first, congratulations on your article that you did, putting out summer is fast approaching. It's funny how minds work in the same way sometimes. I look at my list of questions, and I see some of them you answered, but I'll probably go through them anyway. But I definitely will recommend everybody read this. And maybe I'll let you go into it first and just talk about the what you wrote, because I thought you did an outstanding job. I have some ideas myself on what I think players should do, and truthfully, I start before the summer because we finished our season a few weeks ago in Florida, and we already started in May and June, important months program that we run, the LEP program, which is an old USTA program that they've kind of abandoned, but we haven't abandoned it. But, Tarek, why don't you talk about what you put in there and the importance of college tennis exposure camps, because I think that's so important.
Sure. So regarding the article, I was asked by tennisrecruiting.net, you know, to put together some articles. And one of the things that families, players and parents always ask is, you know, summertime is a key time when you're not in school, and that a lot for players all around the country, especially up north, who have to go through winter. Us in Miami here are privileged, and yourself in Sebastian, Florida, to have good weather all year round. But players and who are living up north, you know, summer's like, that's the key 2, 3, 4 months that they have to really spend a lot of time on the court and play tournaments. So I thought, okay, what can I do to give some feedback on building the best summer schedule? And I thought, well, three key ingredients are important there. One is, you know, if you're going to be a college tennis player and that's your dream and goal, then you have to first and foremost understand that college is the first word in that college tennis scholarship. And academics never can take a back burner completely. I totally understand that kids, we were all, you know, high school students at one time, that, you know, school is not always the most fun thing to do. It takes a lot of work and time, and summer comes around, and that's your chance to relax. Well, I'm saying, great, spend a lot of time relaxing, doing the things you like to do. But don't turn your mind off. My mom, when I was growing up, I used to hate it when I was a kid and growing up because I didn't want to do any schoolwork in the summertime, but I have to commend her. She always made sure me and my sisters did some activity throughout the summer, whether we did like a summer school a couple hours in the morning, or she would personally teach us some math for the following year, or get us up to speed on some of the important, you know, things that keeps your mind active. So I suggest that kids need to keep that academic mind working, their brain going, and if they haven't had the best school year, that they need to try to take a summer class or do something so that they can keep that GPA at 3.0 or higher. And the reason why I say 3.0 or higher is because the majority of colleges that are looking for college tennis prospects are looking for players who have a 3.0 or higher so that they can combine the tennis scholarship with some academic scholarship. At the same time, majority of great academic schools are going to look for a player, a student who has, you know, a B or higher average, and that would be that 3.0. I think that that's what players should strive for. You know, if you do your best and you work your hardest, I guarantee most of the players can get to that level. And that's the first and foremost thing about creating that winning summer tennis schedule, is do something each day, whether it's, you know, taking some summer classes or just spending a couple hours at home preparing for next year's year of mathematics, science, and Englishes. The other thing that's very important is tennis results and exposure. So since that summer months are so crucial to get out there on the court, do lots of training, as Coach David Goetz said last week, results are important. Playing tournaments are important. Getting yourself out there in competitive matches. If you're not able to play two or three tournaments a month, for whatever reason it is, go out there and play matches against your friends and other players that can give you good competition. The other aspect is the exposure events. And talking again about the exposure camps and opportunities, there are several of them around the country during the summertime. We host the one at UPenn, June 19th to 21st, where you can get exposed to college coaches. And 99% of competitive tennis players, whether you're high school players on the team or you don't play on your team, you don't get the opportunity to play in front of coaches. The only players that get to really get a chance to play in front of coaches is probably 1%, the kids that are playing the national tournaments. That's where a lot of coaches often go because they have a limited time, and those are the options that they have and the budget that they have to work with. So these exposure camps and showcases provide a phenomenal opportunity for players to be in front of college coaches. And I'm going to use this analogy throughout our talk today, is I wanted to always give a comparison to players and parents and say, how can I compare the college recruiting process to something everybody can relate to? And I think the best way to relate it is going out and applying for a job. Everybody, every parent has been through that process. They've gone and they've applied for a job and they've been employed by a company, or if they own their own company, they employ others. And there are certain steps that everybody needs to do in order to get the job that you'd like. And if I use this analogy in regards to exposure camps and recruiting, I'm going to say that, well, if you're going to get a job, and you'd like to get into the workforce, and let's say you want to work in technology, and you want to work specifically in digital media. Well, if you want to get a job in digital media, you're going to go out and you're going to research and network with as many companies as possible and hand out your resume to as many companies that have an opening for a digital media job, and you're going to want to match yourself up with the right requirements. So I can relate that directly to a tennis prospect, a high school prospect who wants a college tennis scholarship. Well, he or she is going to attend one of these events or several of these events where they get an opportunity to network with college coaches. They get to train with them on the court, sample various coaching styles, and find the schools that fit based on their level and their academic standings. And from there, you start to build a huge network of coaches and other experts in the field, mingle with other players where you may also find some additional opportunities. And that is where you're going to get the value and the opportunity to get several scholarship opportunities. The third aspect of building a summer schedule is character and leadership. Players who can go out and be part of the community. College coaches are always looking for players who are going to be a good face and someone who can represent the school. Because when you're playing a sport for a university, you're representing the school. And when you're representing the school, coaches always want leaders. And they want someone who can be part of the community and engage them and bring the rest of the team together. So if you get an opportunity, spend some hours doing some community service. And that will go a long way. It's a humbling experience. At the same time, it's one aspect that college coaches will love to see when they're recruiting a player.
Excellent points, Derek. I just couldn't agree more. And I encourage everybody. And we will share that on the FHSTCA social network because I think it should be read. Just Monday, I was at the FHSTCA tennis meeting in Gainesville. They're the governing body of tennis, of high school sports, and we're on the tennis advisory committee there. And what you were speaking of is kids being out there. I would say 4 or 5 times one of the coaches' complaint was, you never see a college coach at one was a match. When was the last time you seen a college coach at the match? I was hoping we would adopt the universal tennis ranking systems for a lot of different reasons, and one of them, of course, is to help get notification to the colleges, and that came up 3 or 4 times. Well, how many of you have one of the top 100 teams on there? Everybody looks at the half a dozen powerhouses there are in the state, but that's not the norm for the high school teams. And why would a college coach be coming to your match to watch a match if they, there isn't that talent there with all the things they have to do? Are they usually at the state championship? Yes, they are. They used to be at our FHSTCA All-Star Tournament at the end of the year before the USTA, put their designated on the same weekend, which I can't complain about that. If I was a college coach, I would be there rather than our event. So I think what you say there is just so important that, and I keep thinking back of Coach Getz said too about opportunity, the opportunity, and I think that's so important.
You've definitely got to put yourself in a position, to have the opportunity. And just like you said, the coach's time is, is, you know, to evaluate while they're not in season is very short. And their budgets, realistically, are not very big, aside from those handful of powerhouses. So on a coach's perspective, the strategy for them is, well, if I go to a, you know, a state tournament or a national tournament, I've got to find that number one player for my team, which is that 1% of tennis players. And the other 99%, I'll find other ways, or they'll come to me. So they've got to really spend those few trips that they make each year to find that 1%. Otherwise, you know, they'll be chasing the 99 and never get to that 1%. So that 99%, which is the bulk, that is everybody, pretty much, they need to find other ways to get in front of coaches and have a competitive edge. You have to understand that if you're that 99%, then you're competing against everybody else. And that 1%, they're getting the exposure. They certainly are. They're getting coaches that are after them, and their process is very different. So if you're not that 1%, and I'd be speaking to everybody but them, is that what can you do to really create the best opportunity for you? And again, I'll revert back to going and applying for a job, trying to get, you know, a job. You want to get in front of every company, everybody possible who can provide you with that opportunity. And you never know where you're going to get the opportunity. A lot of parents have and players have talked to me over the years, and one of the pieces that I'd like to touch on is a lot of them say, well, I see these 8 schools or 10 schools coming to this particular event, but I'm not interested in any of them. And I feel like that's something that needs to be addressed. I can understand that you may not be interested particularly in those 8 or 10 schools, but you want to create an opportunity to network. And what that network does is you may go to an event or an exposure camp where you're particularly not interested in one of those initially, but you may get interested in one of those schools. The other aspect is that there's a secret to recruiting. The more schools that you have going after you or who are interested in recruiting you, the more leverage you have with other schools. Because now you have options and you have negotiation power. And that goes a long way because that may get you schools that weren't looking at you. It gives you a set of confidence and it gives you many, many options. So I think it's very important. It's like going to a conference. Again, I'm reverting back to something that everybody can relate to. If you're going to a convention or a conference for a business event, it may not be the speaker you particularly know or like. It may not be the companies that you feel you might be able to do business with. But you never know what opportunities come out of there. And I don't think that anybody's ever been to a networking opportunity or event and not come out with at least 1 or 2 or 3 leads or someone that knows somebody who can help you. And I think that if you set yourself up in those scenarios and you have keep an open mind, great things will happen.
That's an excellent point. I think, you know, being blessed to have you involved with our organization for the last couple of years and knowing the event that you do in the greater Miami area and the one in Toronto, I have to admit I miscalculated terribly when I saw at the University of Pennsylvania. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I've been blessed to put people in college playing tennis. I've been blessed to know at least 3 people that are in the Ivy League. One of them is currently at the University of Pennsylvania. But those people, their GPAs and what they need in studying and everything, I'm saying, gee, is that such a good location? How many people, you know, are going to be qualified to go there? And then I went over what David, the list of coaches he has there, and those coaches are really from all over. And the misperception I had is we're talking about an Ivy League Nothing wrong with an Ivy League. Don't get me wrong, but you know that is not an Ivy League event, and so you have to be careful not to prejudge some of these things.
Absolutely, doing your research is important, and keeping an open mind, I feel, is the most important thing. I've always learned that, and I give credit to my parents, because it's easy to close your mind to something or to make a preconceived judgment without doing your homework. And the other part is, when you keep an open mind and you get somewhere that you're not sure is going to provide you with what you need, it can't hurt. These exposure camps provide not only the network to a group of college coaches that have a network of hundreds, along with our organization who helps you with that, you get evaluated to find your fit. You personally get an opportunity to train with high-level college coaches, such as Coach Getz, who can really help you prepare your game for college tennis. You can train in that intensity and environment, and it's important to learn for high school tennis players and, you know, prospects that college tennis is a completely different animal than it is when you're playing in the junior days. There's another article that I've written for Tennis Recruiting that talks about the transition from junior tennis into college tennis and the fact that college tennis is a team sport and that there are different aspects involved that you need to be aware of and how difficult sometimes that transition can be unless you are prepared for it. So the exposure camps also prepare you for an easy transition into college. So, you know, you have many components there where, you know, if you come out of there, out of the camp, you're going to get much more value than just, you know, an offer out of it. And as I mentioned, every opportunity is a good opportunity.
Very well put, no question about that. And I think that it's probably a little bit more difficult now. I remember not that many years ago, maybe 20-some years ago, discussion with my son when there was a John Denis School of Tennis, and there was another major program, and they would give people, you know, free rides to there. And my son, who was also John, and the John Denis School of Tennis was actually named after him, not for me. I always tell people I was the other John Denis. That we should do the same thing, that, you know, offer these some of these better players and let them come free. And I always had in my own mind, and I think today I see, I think it's even more important than it was 20 years ago, and I used to say to him, people have to earn their way. They have to sit there and understand they're earning their way. Because, you know, number one, how many free ones can we want? Can we give? We all want to help somebody. But at some point, you have to realize there's cost involved. And I think this is the same thing. I think it's more relevant today because there's a perception that you know, in America, the country owes me this here. Colleges are independent institutions, and they don't owe nobody anything. And there is a cost in preparation that needs to be involved there. And I think maybe it would be good to just talk a little bit about what are some of the things that the parents and the players, besides academically and physically, you know, their skills, should be looking at too and considering.
Sure. The recruiting process does require an investment, as you mentioned. And just like anything, you've got to invest time and money into something and that's where you start to see your return on your investment. And I think a lot of families ask me particularly, you know, what do I need to do for the recruiting process? And the first thing I want to be very clear about, and I think every listener should pay very close attention to this, is every player's recruiting process is slightly different because it's completely based on several different areas: your academics, your athletic ability, your results, and your personal preferences. And every student athlete has different personal preferences, them and their families. Every student athlete is at a different academic standing. Every student athlete is at a different athletic ability. And there are options for everybody. So I don't want to discourage anybody. I want to make it very clear that there are options for everyone. But there's specific paths that everyone needs to take based on those. So if I was to talk to families and say, okay, what do you need to do to invest in this process? Well, the first thing you need to do is you need to start the process early. And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was on the show last, is starting that process as early as your ninth grade, freshman year in high school, and starting to build a schedule. You need to get evaluated. And these evaluations can come at the camps that you attend, or by a third-party verified trusted company that can really look at your academic and athletic and your personal preferences so that that can help you create that winning game plan. And those costs can be anywhere from $200 all the way to $1,000. And I think that's the most vital first step in a vital component about how you can now look at the investment you need to make throughout the rest of the process. From there, you know, you need to build, that can help you build a list of schools that could fit you based on your evaluation. And that list can change based on, you know, how well you do academically and athletically throughout your high school years. But that gives you a base and may give you some reach schools, some safety schools, as well as some current fits. So tournaments and camps are also an important aspect. You, as Coach Getz said last week, you know, college coaches, in order to recruit you, that investment of playing tournaments and attending these exposure camps and showcases are a must. So you may be spending anywhere from a few hundred dollars, again, to about $1,000 per camp or per tournament, and that's an important part. The other important part, it doesn't require any real cost to it. It's actually the investment of your time. And I think that families underestimate the amount of time that is required to go through the recruiting process and be successful. It becomes at some point a full-time job, and you need to manage your time properly so that you're able to do all the steps in the process and get the best results. Players cannot make excuses, or I don't like when parents make excuses that, you know, their son or daughter is too busy with school and tennis to have time for the recruiting process, because to me that doesn't make too much sense. I think that there, at some point, you've got to take that step. And again, I'm going to revert back to an analogy of going for seeking a job, employment. You can't possibly tell an employer that you don't have time to give a resume or attend an interview or follow up with phone calls if that's part of their recruiting process and expect to get the job. So there is a big requirement of time, but this can be managed if you start the process early and if you're willing and able to do it. There are times when players need the help of a recruiting expert, and that's where we come into play in helping them manage that, help them do certain things in the process and expedite it through our network and relationships and building those lists of schools. So, you know, if a family was to get evaluated initially, that evaluation and understanding should give them an opportunity to see where they stand and create that list of initial schools and then what items they need to do throughout the process in order to be successful. And again, that can come at various costs, but it's good to be able to budget that over the next few years so that you make sure that you're able to accomplish everything.
Very good. And I think sometimes I hear people talk about, you know, tennis being so much different, but of course, as you know, because the recruiting service is not just for tennis players, but the same, a similar process is with most of the sports. I have a grandson who I think has potential for college, but he plays baseball. Of course, this is one of the reasons that I was promoting a universal tennis ranking system, because sometimes there's limited information goes out in tennis. Tarek plays John Denise, and Tarek beats John Denise 7-5, 5-7, 7-5. All the ranking system does is tell him that Tarek won and I lost. I could go into baseball site and and look at my grandson and see that he's a freshman. I could see he's 3-0. I could see his second most wins on the school's, the second most innings pitch. But I also could see the talent he's playing against. I could see that he's played against the number one ranked team and the number three ranked team in their area. I could see that he, in one of his pitches, matches, which was a no decision, he pitched against somebody that already has a scholarship and been going. And so sometimes, and I'm not saying your job is easy, but sometimes I think it's even harder in tennis, but people have to realize they have to make this investment themselves. I know in July, my wife and I will be in North Carolina, honey, or South Carolina? North Carolina, because he's going to be in a tournament there for the week. You know, we will be there watching them and enjoying it, and we'll be, and there'll be a lot of coaches there and looking to evaluate not just his talents but everybody's talents that are there. So I think, well, first I'll let you comment, then I think I'm going to try to sell you something. Go ahead.
All right. College coaches will always tell you that the number one way for them to evaluate a prospect is to see them live. And again, that's the opportunity that you're giving yourself by being in front of college coaches. Coach Getz said last week on his show with you that he's got to figure out which guys he thinks are going to be the best college players, you know, as they go through their 4 years of college. And if not, if they don't perform and he doesn't recruit well, he's going to get fired. It's a business. It's a business, and just like any other business, again, I'm going to revert back to seeking employment. If you're a director of a company, a VP, a president, and they are looking to develop and hire the best team. So when you're applying for a job, they're looking for you, for the guy or the girl who can fit their team best. And they're looking at several components. And if I'm 99% of the time, they're going to do a face-to-face interview or a Skype interview, something where they can see you and ask you questions and really evaluate some of your work even at times. If you're doing a technical job, they want to see samples of your work. And it's exactly similar to a college coach recruiting a potential prospect. Can they get to know you? What's your character like? How do you face adversity? What is your reaction when you're winning and losing a match? What characteristics do you have as an athlete in terms of your, you know, big? Do you have a big serve? Do you have a big forehand? How good are your volleys? And they can only analyze and realistically see all of that in seeing players live. On video, that stuff can sometimes be edited out, and that's why coaches love to see unedited footage. But if they can see you in front, that's going to give you that competitive edge. And I totally agree.
They will. You know, you and I talked at, I know we talked last October when you did your presentation at our annual workshop, but, and then, you know, we were talking more in the future, and we were talking about other dates and doing something jointly with the FHSTCA here in Florida. But again, you're never too old to learn. And I see, like, our all-star event was a big, big thing to me, trying to send kids off to college, you know, with good memories of high school. But I'm thinking for two reasons. Number one, we just had the event a couple of weeks ago, and truthfully, the event was half of what we expected. And, you know, we could all go out there with 6,000 reasons why. To me, much of it is excuses. And probably the biggest fault is mine. I'm thinking that you and I should have been talking about turning that event, rather than an all-star event, turn it into a, you know, the ultimate team challenge, but make it an invitational event, and an event that, besides just the playing the tournament, we can do all these other things, because it's not too early. I mean, truthfully, at the senior year, it's too late to be thinking about your college recruitment. So I'm going to ask you to give that some thought, give some dates. I mean, one of our big problems is that date in May with graduation and proms and everything. Does it have to be in that day? When it would be a good day earlier in the school year that we can get college coaches, or am I just a crazy old man? Is this something we should work on, and what's your comment?
I say we do something, for sure. I say maybe we do something maybe third week or of January or something, when the college coaches are still around just before they start their season, and we get them to come out, motivate the players, look at some players as well and scout them, and give these high school tennis players who are serious about playing college the opportunity that they're looking for. I think that's a phenomenal idea, and I say we do it.
And you're thinking the third week of January would be a good time?
I think that would be a good time, second or third week of January. That's right when the kids get back. They have a couple weeks after they get back from the break, and most importantly, before the college coaches start the season. I'm sure we could get a bunch of them to come out and check out the great talent and provide these kids the opportunity that they're looking for. It would be a great experience.
For us,
it would be a great
time. Like a pre-season would just be the start. I like that. That's a good idea. So with us, as far as the high school, it would almost be pre-season. So we're getting them used to going out. We're getting them ready for practice. And, okay,
I can't think of a better way.
What happened with my knee? I might not be on the tennis court as much as I would for a little while. And if that's the case, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Tarek, but I think I'm going to be a pain in the neck, and you and I are going to spend a lot of conversations together.
That's all right. I think that, you know, touching on that again, right at the preseason, I can't think of a better way to motivate and get the high school athletes excited. Their high school coach is going to love it, because you're going to get them all excited. You're going to get them motivated, excited to go out there and have a great season. I think it'll really, you know, revive and create some great matches over the course of the next few months after that.
And I take it, like, we could do, I know in Miami you did it, you had some things for the parents too. I mean, we could include that in it, you think?
Absolutely, yep. We, you know, the showcase that we host in December, again, you know, if the kids can have an opportunity to do this twice, three times, that's another thing that I maybe left out is, you know, you want to give yourself multiple opportunities. And if we have two events here in Florida, one in early December, and then a high school event in January. We can include some parent seminars and get the parents involved and active, because I think the parents need to play a supportive role in their son or daughter's recruiting process. There's many aspects that we talked about last time I was on the show about how important it is for them to get involved. So we can continue to educate them, and they'll have a great weekend as well.
Well, if that's good with you and you don't feel it's a conflict with your December, I'd like to start, and I'm going to talk to the board a bit about that, because we did talk to the board at the members that were there. Not everybody was. Like I said, the show wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. But one of the points I brought up, and they were bringing up other events, and one of the things I worried about, just like I resent the fact that the USTA moving a date to our date, is I said, well, let's be careful. You know, somebody mentioned another type of tournament that was run there. Well, do we really want to take somebody else's event away? But if you don't have a problem us being too close to you in December, I think that tomorrow that we have to seriously start working on that then.
I think it's a great idea because, if we continue to educate all the families out there, they'll see that they should and can do both. Again, going back to the investment, you know, of the parents. If they're, I can see that if they're well prepared, I think that they would be able to do both, and it will provide them with the maximum exposure and opportunities.
Well, it sounds like a plan. We just have to put it together then. So, boy, I knew this was going to be a good show because I enjoy talking to you so much and you have so much good information to share with everybody. But this might turn out to be much better than I anticipated when we decided we needed you back on again. You know what this means, though, Tarek? It means that probably sometime in the fall, I know we have you scheduled as one of our speakers at our workshop, but it means that sometime in the fall you're going to have to be on the radio show again, because once we put this together, you're going to have to be a part of selling this.
No problem. Happy to be here. Happy to do it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the work that you do. I know you're working on some project now that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but as soon as you're ready, I think we the world is changing, and for us seniors, it's nice to have young people like you that are seeing and standing out in front and ready to make the change as they're needed, and I appreciate that, Tarek.
Absolutely. Happy to be there again and help, and together I think we're going to do great things.
I do, too. Anything you'd like to close with? Because we've already shot through 50 minutes of this show. What would you like to say before I go in and do some more business?
Sure. I mean, I'd encourage, again, families and players that are interested in playing college tennis to reach out. I'm more than happy to answer any questions about the process and your specific preferences and needs, and help you build that perfect winning game plan. And I look forward to seeing more kids register for our upcoming exposure camps this summer and throughout till December, and hope that we can help you reach your goals and dreams of playing college tennis.
Well, thank you very much, and I will just let everybody know, too, that you go to our resource page on the FHSTCA.org website, and you will see I'm recruitable there, and if you go there, you Tarek through our site, or of course by going on to his own site. And in the past, we have shared some of Tarek's write-ins, and I will do it. I apologize for the last couple of days not being my full self, but I promise you, in the next couple of days, we will have our social media going more than just having one item. And on the top of that will be, I think you need to read, it's summer is fast approaching. And it's something should be read, truthfully, not just for tennis players, but I think of my grandsons that I lost out on convincing them that tennis should be their sport. So I'm going to support them what they're doing in baseball. But the process is similar. It's very, very similar. So we thank Tarek again for being on. And I would just like to let you know that next week we have John Embry, the executive director of the United States Professional Tennis Association, on. I told you before there was going to be something coming on, and they're ready in August. The USPTA is going to be offering membership through the high schools for USPTA members and at a discounted price. As you know, in 2014, the working agreement we did at the end of 2013 with the USPTA Florida section to work together, because we really need to get our high school coaches certified. We talk about those programs that have very successful coaches that have been there for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years and have gone through certification. The truth of the matter is that one third of the tennis coaches and high school tennis coaches in Florida get turned over, and the USPTA is doing their part to work with us. When I was out in Texas, the Texas High School Tennis Coaches Association and the California Tennis Coaches Association executive directors and myself sat down with John, threw ideas around, and he brought it to his board, and it looks like it's finally coming together. So on August, they will be introducing that program, and of course we will introduce it at next week's radio show, and then of course in the June and July issue of Florida Tennis Magazine, you'll be able to see something there. Hey, Cass Pastrana, I don't know if any of you that are PTR members, he does their educational portion for the Professional Tennis Registry, and Hilton Head at their International Symposium has their program, which now any 14, 15-year-old high school player working with a PTR pro, which I happen to be one of them in a 10 and under program, which, of course, my wife, District 15, NJTL, runs. They have a free program for them, an apprentice program that they sit there. So I think we're at a point where we're starting to get the professional organization realizing that the in order to grow and keep high school tennis productive and a rewarding experience for the players, the parents, the school, and the community, that it takes our coaching organizations experience to do that. The only thing we're missing now is the USTA, and hopefully that's going to be happening soon, and we will have the USTA on board with us. And I think it's important that everybody remembers that tomorrow's USTA members and PTR tennis pros and the volunteers and the community leaders and our business leaders of tomorrow are all in high school now. So we need them in high school tennis. We need your support. We thank you for listening, and we ask you to listen again next week and tell your friends about Blog Talk Radio and the US 10 network. Have a blessed week, and I will talk to you next week.